Ladies and gentlemen, and those who identify as both, welcome to an episode of The Red Rum Den, all things horror, true crime, and paranormal. I am your host, Robbie Red Rum. Here's Robbie! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Red Rum Den. It is your boy, Robbie Red Rum, here, your hostess with the mostest.
That was a lot.
I have my makeup on, so I'm feeling myself yet again. I want to give a huge shout out at the top of the episode to my girls at the Ulta in Homedale who let me kiki and carry with them and have a good old time. So I'm super excited. You have no clue how much you guys made me feel good. I hope you guys honestly, you know, watch this and this is your shout out because you guys are awesome. If you guys need makeup, they are the nicest people. The nicest people, you guys. So I want to start off at the top of the episode. Make sure that you are still following us at The Red Rum Den on all social media platforms. And continuing on, I will be dropping episodes on Thursdays, you guys. It's finally, I'm caught up. We're gonna have a good time. The podcast is rocking and a rolling. I mean, we're not rocking like Elvis because we would be dead. But other than that, we're rocking and rolling, you guys. So let's get started. This is the one on Catherine Knight. And just so you are aware, Catherine Knight is our first female on the show. So what does that mean? We had a straight man, we had a gay, well, closeted gay man, but a gay man, and now we have a woman. We live for that diversity. Come now. All right, so Catherine Knight was born October 24th, 1955. That is going to make her a Libra Scorpio cusp. She just had to be an overachiever and be two. She couldn't just be one sign. She had to be two. All right, I see you. She was born in Tenterfield, Australia, you guys. So I'm going to take you into the scene of what happened first, and then we're going to dive into Catherine. March 1st, 2006 a.m., when John's car was seen outside of the family home. John was usually at work by 6 a.m. His supervisor noticed that he was not there and did not show up. And that was a little peculiar for John because John was always at work, always there, always early, you guys. After really off-putting comment that John made earlier, what happened is they winded up asking a few of his coworkers to go over to the house, check on him, make sure he's okay. It's not like him to call out. It's not like him to do all of this. So what happens? These coworkers wind up arriving around 8 a.m. to John's house. So they're banging on the front door. They're like, John, John. John's not answering, you guys, okay? So they go to the back door. And what happened? They knock, knock, knock. Now, they wind up finding blood on the door, you guys. So once they found the blood, they were like, They were out. They were Danny Phantom. They went ghost. They called the police. They were out. They were gone. So at 8:10 a.m., Officer Matthews and Officers Phil Unger arrived at Price's home. His name was John Price. I should have fully said that, but moving on. The doors were locked, okay? So the police had to go through the back door. I mean, same. I go through the back door too. Shout out to gay sex. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm getting canceled on my third episode. Okay, so they wind up going through the back door. The officer stated, you guys, what they saw is described as the worst scene in Australian history. Okay? They found a murder scene and a woman comatose in the bedroom. That was as far as they needed to go to find the perpetrator, you guys. The comatose woman in the bedroom was it. Okay, we're going to dive into Catherine now. I set the scene. You guys got all that stuff, okay? Her father was father to many children. She had two brothers and a twin sister. Her father was a quiet man. He wasn't outward. He wasn't an extrovert. He was a very quiet man, secluded, you know, went to work, provided for his family, did all that. Well, her mother, though, was an extrovert, very loud, and also known to be a firecracker, okay? Now, she had a very close relationship with her mother and also with her twin sister, Joy. Now, I stated that her mother was a firecracker personality, very much like mother, like daughter. Okay, you guys, they had a very volatile family. Ken Knight stated that there was never abuse in the home. They never abused the kids. We have to take his word on it. I don't know. I can't dive into that because I physically wasn't in their home, you guys. So I don't know. This is what we got to go off of, okay? Catherine said she was sexually abused, but they could never prove it. She used an arsenal of lies and getting revenge and a bunch of allegations as her triggers and basically fire shots to get what she wanted and what she needed. The family does deny that no sexual allegations happened. So she was lying from the beginning. I mean, sis, come on, you don't lie about that. Period. You just don't lie about it. Growing up, Catherine would find injured cats and dogs and nurse them back to health and then let them go. I mean, if you think about it, that's a really nice thing. It's you're nursing them back, you're letting them go. But here's my thing. Why are you going out finding sick dogs and cats? Why do all serial killers need to find dead roadkill? Like, is there a secret, you know, sign language or something that they know with these dead animals? Like, I'm very, very, very confused as to why you guys need to pick up dead animals. At least she nursed these back to health, okay? I don't understand you guys. I just don't. But she was a bully growing up in school because she wasn't very bright. I didn't mean to write that mean. I was just taking my notes. But she wasn't very smart, you guys, okay? She was not very smart. She was not very happy. Obviously, she's lying about sexual allegations. It will make sense. Now, her weapons at school were her fist and her tongue. I mean, Shawty wanted all the smoke. But she had no problem fighting. Damn, Bad Girls Club missed somebody. She used to have a fiery up and down relationship with men. Very like a roller coaster. When she got married in 1974, she only had one boyfriend before that, and it did not end very well. She was drunk on her wedding day. She rode her motorcycle to the wedding with him on the back, and he was also a drunk. Baby girl, you get married. You gonna ride your little Harley up to the church with your man's drunk on the back. You gonna ruin your dress. That tailpipe definitely burned the edges of that dress. She got a frayed dress on the bottom. But here's the thing about their relationship. They used to cheat on each other, and her cheating on him was always payback. So he would cheat on her, she would cheat on him, and it would be like this huge volatile thing of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, on their engagement night, guys, this is very important. I want you to hear this, okay? On their engagement night, her mother gave him a warning from his mother-in-law. She said, and I quote, "You better watch her because she's crazy, and if you do anything to upset her, she'll kill you." It be your own damn family that rat you out. It be your own family. I mean, damn. Your own mother called you out by name. But what did he do? He just laughed it off and pretended like it was a joke, thinking it was satire, but it wasn't. Catherine, on her wedding night, was having sex and used it to keep her men, okay? So, she wanted to have sex on her wedding night 5 times with her man because her parents had sex 5 times. That's weird, you guys. So, your parents had sex 5 times, so you have sex 5 times. Baby girl, why are your parents sharing information that they had sex 5 fucking times with you? All right. Let's get back into their wedding night, you guys. He was so drunk that after a few times, he passed out on the bed and woke up to her straddling him. But it wasn't sexual. She was straddling him and strangling him, you guys. She could... Baby boy. Baby boy. You had A through Z warning signs, and you decided to stay. And then you want to blame all women. Men, you need to look for the red flags, too. Not all men have them. And some women have red flags too. You need to look out for yourself. Okay, moving on. Personality wise, she could be walking around the house humming and singing and being happy. And then in the next moment, just be into a burst of rage. Like rage, you guys. Rage. With Catherine's violence, she was angry that he left her. So let me explain this to you. So while she got pregnant, he went out and cheated on her and got another woman pregnant and left her for that pregnant woman. So this was her first child. She felt a certain way. Guys, I'm going to give you a trigger warning. This has to do with the child. So please just bear with me. This is very important. So I want you guys to really hear this. She was so angry that she took the bassinet and put it on the train tracks so that way the baby could get ran over by a train. Thankfully, by the grace of God, somebody saw the bassinet and ran and swooped up the bassinet before the baby could get ran over by a train. That's her version of revenge on her man. Here's the thing, you guys, that's really nuts to me. After that, they got back together. Yeah. They got back together, you guys. They got back together. So it was so toxic, their relationship, that at one time she put all of his clothes in the bathtub and burned them. First of all, if you're going to burn somebody's clothes, do it outside. Why are you burning somebody's clothes in the bathtub where the whole house can come down? Now you homeless and he has no clothes. Who wins? Not you, dumb bitch. So she burned his clothes because that was her way of telling him that he was being rotten to her. And then she punched him. This sounds like a lovely, touching woman. The epitome of femininity and kindness. I'm just saying. She was put in a psych ward after the baby incident. So after that baby incident, you guys, she was put in the psych ward, but this also happened before she was fully put in the psych ward. She was seen walking down the road, swinging an axe around her head and scaring people and chasing them. What? What is wrong? So she's in the psych ward. She gets diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, you guys. She reunited with David after the hospital. That was his name, David. And David finally left that other relationship. So that's why I'm saying he took her back. They got back together. And the roller coaster of their volatile marriage resumed. They were married for another 8.5 years, you guys, before he finally left her for good. 8.5 years. That's a long time. How do you stay in something that toxic for Anna? I mean, I get it. We always say to women, you know, about getting out, but she used to decorate with animal skins and animal skulls around the house, you guys. So her home was very macabre. She used to keep old traps, old knives, anything that pretty much was very gruesome was in this house. I'm not feeling it. Nah. I mean, I love horror stuff, but this is crazy. She also liked very old things and anything that was symbolized with death. Weird. So she had a similar relationship with another man also named David. All of her partners were big drinkers, you guys. They all drank. Did she bring them to drinking? Honestly, how do you cope with this? She had a very outgoing and big personality. Their relationship began as an affair, cheating on their previous partners. I'm sorry, but cheating is never the answer. Never. They told friends, but not the police in the 70s and 80s. She was a size 14 and tall. So she was a big bitch, okay? This was a big bitch, you guys. Tall, heavier set. Like, if she wanted to tussle, you getting pummeled into the ground and you meeting Satan. Like, you're not even going up. She going, knock you down, you meeting Satan. Like, that's it. But when she wanted to be nice, she could be really nice, you guys. She would, you know, take people to the doctor that didn't have a car. She would help them out. She would also make things for other children. But when she wanted to be mean, she could be mean, okay? Well, you guys are probably wondering what happened. Well, when they entered this house, okay, let's get into the nitty gritty. When she got to this house, his head was in a boiled pot with vegetables boiling. They said it couldn't have been much longer because his head was still hot. She had cut out of his ass cheeks fillets of steak. She made steak fillets out of his ass cheek, cooked it up, and winded up going ahead and cooking it, setting the table, putting their ass cheek steak. Also, you went right for the ass. You could have did a thigh, a calf, made it like a filet mignon, but you went for an ass. Baby, that's the fattiest part. It's all fat. Tell me you don't know good cooking when you don't know good cooking. Okay, anyway. So she does that. She sets up the table. She also wrote handwritten notes for each child. I'm going to search that up right now for you guys. Okay, let's look that up. Okay, so I do want to let you guys know how they found his body. Okay. His entire skin was in one piece and body, including the hair, face, ear, nose, and mouth and genitals. And his stab wounds were also still there. He was dripping in blood. She had taken an S-hook and hooked his body like you do with, like, you know, in a meat locker. She had hooked him up to the doorway and his body was hanging and his feet was dangling. This is really disgusting. So here's the note that she had poorly written to John's son. Time got you back, Jonathan, for rapping my daughter. You to Beck Ross for little John. Now play with little John Dick, John Price. So She basically, again, if you remember in earlier of the episode, accused her father of raping her or sexually assaulting. Now she is assuming that Jonathan, his son, raped her daughter. So early in the episode, I said him. It was a she. I will correct myself. But regardless, she spelled Jonathan, J-O-H-A-T-H-O-N. And raping is R-A-P-P-I-N-G. All right, Eminem, calm the fuck down. Rapping. Calm the fuck down. And don't even get me started on how she spelled daughter. D-O-U-T-E-R. Duder. My duder. Ladies and gentlemen, I have no words. I mean, I feel bad, but like, you gonna kill somebody's husband and you can't even spell the note correctly. I mean, not husband, but you gonna kill somebody's father and not spell the note correctly? What is wrong with you? So, anyway, she goes to trial. They do the big old trial. Everything happens. Well, they find her guilty. I mean, how could you not? She was passed out, comatose in the bedroom. She had swallowed a bunch of pills, fucking comatose in the bedroom. His body was right there. She was in the crime scene. You could tell everything that happened. This is a very smart part. Not smart part of Australia. It's a sad part as well. She is actually the first ever Australian woman to receive life in prison without parole. So they got her ass. They got her ass good. She is still currently alive, still currently in prison. If you want to research that and find out where she is, you are more than welcome. But homegirl is in jail for the rest of her life. This was so gruesome. And the fact that you are going to feed your stepchildren their father. Are you serious? Are you, like, actually serious? That is so disgusting on so many levels. Like, you have to be sick for this to happen. Again, her episode is very quick. This is probably going to be the quickest episode I think I ever do. I would love to know down below, what are your thoughts on this? Or, you know, you can email us at redroomdenmanagement@gmail.com. Sorry, I have to reflect. So sometimes I talk like that. But I really want to know, guys, what are your thoughts on this? Because this is just, you know, crazy. Like, it's a very quick boom, 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 boom story. You know me, like, I give the facts, but I love to give my opinion more on the case. I don't like to sit here and be a Wikipedia page on voice. That's not me. And this is just foul. Absolutely foul. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on another episode of the Red Rum Den. I am your host, Robbie Redrum. Remember, you can follow us on all social media platforms at The Red Rum Den on Spotify Podcast, Apple Podcast, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, where you can see this beautiful face that I spent an hour doing just for y'all so I can be blended, gorgeous, and all that. Also, I did this makeup for my girls at Ulta. I hope you like it. I hope you comment down below on the YouTube video. I also hope that you girls, you know, let me know on Instagram, because I followed you all back, that you liked it or not. And you liked the story. I gotta give a shout out to, you know, my family, my best friend, Mara, PJ, for sitting here watching me, helping me, getting rid of the nerves. I'm always gonna shout out people on this, because my support system to me is everything, and they mean the world to me. I just can't enough. Also, I want to give Yusuf a huge shout out. That is my producer who edits my audio, edits my videos, works very, 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 very hard with me, and is just genuinely the nicest guy. Again, I can't thank you guys enough. This is Robbie Redrum, and I am signing out with the one on Catherine.